Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 46 of Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to begin by reading verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now we were looking at the first part of this verse in our previous study, and tonight we're going to look at the last phrase here, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. And we know that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one like unto the Son of Man, that is speaking, that is communicating, giving divine revelation to the Apostle John. And John has turned to look at the one who was speaking to him, and everything that we read regarding the description of this individual, like unto the Son of Man, matches perfectly with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that liveth and was dead, and behold, he is the one that is alive forevermore. And also it says, and have the keys of hell and of death. This means that the Lord Jesus Christ possesses the keys of hell and death. Well, we're not surprised at that. We would expect that since he is eternal God himself. But what exactly does that mean, that Christ has in his possession the keys of hell and of death? Well, we're going to look at this word key or keys in a few verses in order to better understand exactly what is being said here. And we're going to begin in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. So let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 22, and I'll begin reading in verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Well, this is very interesting to us, since it mentions the key of the house of David will be laid upon this man's shoulder, and the man's name is said to be Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Now, Eliakim was over the house in the days of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And we're not told too much about this individual, but we can know from his name, Eliakim, what that means. It means God of raising, or God of rising up. And that would fit the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. He resurrected. And so the name Eliakim, we can see how that would relate to the Lord Jesus himself. And he is the one that God says that has the key of the house of David. It is laid upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Well, this lets us know that the key is used to open doors and to close doors. And what this key opens, no one is able to shut. And what this key shuts, no one is able to open. And, you know, we were reminded immediately of what we read a little further along in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3, where it says in verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. This is basically a quote from what we just read in Isaiah chapter 22. And yet we know that here the one who is in view is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that is holy. He is the one that is true. As John 14 verse 6 says, I am the truth, the way and the life. And this can only apply to the Lord Jesus. And that would mean that Eliakim is a type and a figure of Christ himself. And notice it says that he has the key of David, just as we read in Isaiah. And in the Bible, David is a figure of Christ. Actually, the name David is sometimes used of Jesus himself, and that name means beloved. He is the beloved of the Father. Well, we see how Jesus is the only one who could be in view, who has the key of David. And again, the key is for opening and shutting. And once again, God emphasizes the important truth that what he opens, what Jesus opens, no one can shut. And what Jesus shuts, no man can open. Well, let's look at an example of this in Revelation chapter 20. And we'll see Jesus using this key in order to shut up the devil. It says in verse 1 of Revelation 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, the bottomless pit would be a figure, a representation of hell. It's not actually a place. It's just a figure of speech that God is using. But remember in our verse in Revelation 1 that the one like unto the Son of Man has the keys of hell and of death. And here we find an angel come down from heaven, and the angel would have to be Christ because he possesses the key of the bottomless pit, or the key of hell. And remember, Jesus is the messenger of the covenant, and the Greek word translated angel oftentimes can also properly be translated as messenger. So we should read that. And I saw a messenger come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And then in verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Well, we have the other element now in this passage. The key of Christ is here, the key of David. Here it's called the key of the bottomless pit. And the messenger takes the key, and with a great chain in his hand, he lays hold on the dragon. And this word laid hold is used in Matthew 14 when Herod laid hold of John and cast him into prison. Well, that's exactly what Christ is doing. He's arresting Satan in a sense, and he lays hold on him and binds him, or bound him 1,000 years, which we know is a figurative number. Remember, this is the Bible. If we look at it literally, we're going to be going down wrong paths completely. We have to look for the spiritual meaning, and the number 1,000 in the Bible points to completeness. So Satan was bound, and when we search the Bible, we discover that that took place at the cross. That's when Jesus laid hold upon him and bound him for 1,000 years, or for the completeness of the New Testament age, or the church age, which actually worked out to be a literal 1,955 years in length. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Now, once Christ shut up the devil, then no one could open that pit. No one could loose him. It would require God himself to loose Satan. And that's exactly what God did in verse 7 of Revelation 20. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And that was all according to God's plan. He, taking that same key, opened up that bottomless pit and loosed Satan in order for him to enter into the churches as the man of sin, to rise as the beast that would destroy the churches and congregations of the world and would prepare the world for judgment day during the period of the Great Tribulation. Well, here we see the key as it's being used to throw Satan into the pit and to lock it up. He shut him up for that period of time. And of course, Satan wasn't cast into a literal pit. So that also helps us to understand that the key is a key to spiritual things. It's a key that can close spiritual doors or open spiritual doors, or it's a key that can open up the spiritual door to hell. And just so we know that the bottomless pit does represent hell, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verse 4, where it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." See, Satan and the demons were cast down into hell, but not a place. There is no place, a literal place called hell. It is a condition. It was to be under the wrath of God, as God provided no salvation for the fallen angels, not for the devil or for any of the other angels that accompanied him when he rebelled against God. They were cast into darkness and they were bound when Christ went to the cross in demonstrating what he had done before the foundation of the world. They were, in a sense, thrown into a bottomless pit and the door was shut. And even though they were still conscious, they had existence and were still going about in the world, Satan was still moving around as a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. He was still active in the churches. He just wasn't the supreme ruler. And so God, in giving us this language, is really just explaining to us that he limited Satan's activities during the church age to a large degree. Satan was not able to do the evil deeds that he certainly would desire to do. And just to understand that, take a look around at the church and the world over the last 20 some years, and look at the tremendous increase in evil that the world has never known or experienced in all of its history. And you can quickly see that Satan was bound. He was limited by God in his destructive ways and in his ability to light the flames of evil and to fan the flames so that wickedness would multiply in the earth. The Lord kept that in reserve for the time of the end when Satan would be loosed. And in 1988 he was, and throughout the 23 years of the Great Tribulation, he was loosed. And we see many of the results of that in the church and in the world today. Well, that's one place we read of this key of hell and death in actual use. There's another place in Revelation where we also find the language of the key being described, and this is found in Revelation chapter 9. And in Revelation 9, it says in verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." Well, here once again, we find the key of the bottomless pit, the key of hell and of death. And a star falls at the sounding of the fifth angel. Now, we don't have time, and it's not the proper place to go into a study of Revelation 8, which sets up Revelation 9 as God describes his judgment on the churches in the previous chapter of Revelation chapter 8. And then he states in verse 13 that there are three woes to the inhabitants of the earth. And we can show, it can be proven from the Bible, that the three woes are language describing the transition from the judgment on the churches, typified by the third part in chapter 8, and now the judgment has expanded to all the world, to all the unsaved people of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth. And each woe is identified with a trumpet. So woe, woe, woe would apply to the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpet sound. And therefore, this is describing judgment day. The day of judgment is as God is using this parabolic language to describe it, a star falling from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. Well, what is this star? Well, the star is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the only one we saw in Isaiah 22, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and in Revelation 20. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that possesses the key. Satan doesn't have the key to the pit, or he would have loosed himself when he was bound there. No, only the Lord Jesus has the key, and the Lord Jesus is described or pictured as a star in some places. He's called the morning star, for instance. Or in Numbers 24, verse 17, it speaks of a star that comes out of Jacob. And this is a type and figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the star of Jacob, and he is the star that falls from heaven to the earth in this figure that God is giving us, who has the key. It says it was given to him, and some try to say, well, you see, Christ had the key, and now he's given it to someone else. No, it's the Father who gave Christ the key. We read that back in Isaiah chapter 22, and let me turn there quickly, where it says in verse 22 of Isaiah 22, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open." So within the Godhead, the Father or the Lord lays upon the shoulder, in that particular picture of Eliakim, who represents Christ, the key of the house of David. And Revelation 3 tells us that the one who has the key is holy and true. It is none other than Jesus. And that's why it says, to him was given the key, because it was given to him by the Father, and so he has it in his possession as a gift within the Godhead. And he opened the bottomless pit. And this took place on the day of judgment which we know from many tie-ins in the Bible, occurred on May 21 of 2011. On that particular date, on the Day of Judgment, it was as though the bottomless pit was open and smoke came out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, because the Bible likens Judgment Day to a day of God's fiery wrath, and God's anger burns against sinners. And so it's the wrath of God coming upon the earth. Now notice here in Revelation 9, no one's cast into the bottomless pit, but that which was in the pit is coming out. The wrath and fury of God is coming out. The smoke is escaping from the pit, and that smoke darkens the sun and the air, and that is indicating that the light of the gospel goes out once the Lord opens up the bottomless pit, and in a sense, God has brought hell to earth. He has the keys of hell and of death, and he has opened the pit so that the condition that was in the pit, the smoke, and as of a furnace, is now upon the earth. And that means that God's judgment is on the world. The world now lies under the wrath of God and is found in the condition of being in hell and death. Since May 21, the Bible actually indicates that the condition of hell, remember, it's not a place. When Satan and the fallen angels were cast down to hell, as 2 Peter 2 says, they weren't thrown into a place. They were still on the earth. It is language that God uses to describe a spiritual condition. And they were also bound in darkness. Let me see if I can just refer to that again in 2 Peter 2. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And the Lord, in darkening the sun and putting out the light of the moon and having the stars fall from the sky, this language all really saying the same thing, that the light of the gospel has gone out and been removed. And the light of the candlestick is also out. God is telling us the same truth in many different ways. But the Lord, in doing this spiritually, in removing that gospel light, that only light that can enlighten the darkness of a sinner's heart and save him, has cast the world down into darkness. Darkness has overtaken the earth. Mankind, it could be said, is now held in chains of darkness, waiting the final day of this period of judgment day, the last day, which may be 1600 days, and the very last day, God will destroy the world, and mankind will have been kept in darkness, in the condition of hell until that final day comes, and the Lord then destroys unsaved man and the fallen angels and the whole corrupt creation. And so it is a really a horrible, horrible time that we happen to be living with. Of course, if we're a child of God, we can thank God that even though we're in darkness, God still is a light unto us. And remember, that is a really beautiful verse that the Lord gives us in the book of Micah. In Micah 7, verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, Jehovah shall be a light unto me. So the believers still have light in their dwelling. That is, the Holy Spirit still indwells each child of God. But outwardly in the world, there is just intense spiritual darkness. There is no light, and it is a tragic situation. And God describes this period of time in Revelation 6 with the fourth horseman. It says in verse 7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth." This is the spiritual condition that the world is now in.